money and you don't even know it. That's what I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building. Turn it off.
What? Turn it off. It gets in the way.
Hey, what's all this a mix-up?
Our true enemy has yet to reveal something.
Hey, truck drivers. Here's a safety tip to know before you go. Give bikes 3 feet when passing. Don't pass if you can. Help us keep New York City streets safer for everyone this holiday season. Visit nyc.gov/TruckSmart.
Holidays bring us all together. So let's stay up to date with COVID-19 vaccines and boosters. And mask up if it's crowded indoors. Happy, healthy holidays.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. It is 2 p.m. Stay tuned for Take Charge of Your Health coming up.
Hi, this is Take Charge of Your Health with Corrine Frenari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corrine Frenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Corrine Frenari, and I'm here. It's Thanksgiving, so I want to say that happy Thanksgiving to you and to yours. And I want to say happy Thanksgiving to you, Reggie. Thank you so much for being there, even on a holiday.
Likewise.
And that is dedication. So thank you, Reggie. So today, I love to be on, I used to be on Fridays. And so Thursday would be Thanksgiving and I would be on Friday. And I always really appreciated having live shows at that time. People are home. They're with their families, and they're listening to the radio. And it's such an intimate time. And we have a traditional show. And that traditional show is about digestion. And why would we think of digestion in relationship to Thanksgiving? Well, you all know, and let's begin. We eat, we're with our families, so it's an emotional time very often. And we eat foods that we don't regularly eat on a daily basis, which stimulates, and they're generally quite delicious, which stimulates our appetite and makes us want to eat more. So we're eating more, we're eating different foods. We're in a stressful, sometimes, not always, but sometimes in a stressful situation, which impedes digestion. So here we have a trifecta of possible problems. So let's talk about digestion, but I don't want to talk alone. I want to talk with you. That's what makes this time special. If you haven't eaten, or if you're going to eat, or if you're listening to the radio, just call in and talk with me and let's discuss this. There's many challenges here. There's digestive challenges, and there's interpersonal challenges, and I'm willing to talk about any one of those. So the number to call is 212 209-2877. It's 212-209-2877. Give us a call and let's talk. So let's begin. Let's begin by the fact that we're in our homes sometimes, not always, but sometimes what we're dealing with is some emotional changes or stresses, and then we're dealing with large meals, and we're dealing with the fact that we're together all day into the night, and sometimes for the whole weekend. And many of the people don't completely agree with us politically or socially, and have a tendency to be quite judgmental. And so there we are trying to eat and feeling stress and feeling our stomach tightening up. And that is not a situation that allows good digestion. So let's talk. What should we do? How should we begin? Well, one way to begin is to take a deep breath and promise yourself you're not going to respond to any negative emotions that might be directed toward you or directed around the table. You just are not going to. And it's possible. You can sit there and let energy surround the table, but you don't have to respond. And I've seen that in many cases. I've seen it in my own life. There was a person that had been very dear to me, and we just started bickering and bickering and bickering. And then one day I said, no, that's the end of it. And I stopped responding. And the person would then try to engage me negatively. And I stopped responding. I would refuse to argue in any way, shape, or form. I didn't cut them out of my life. I didn't refuse to answer or speak with them, but I refused to argue. And that's our option. It's a powerful option. And, we don't want to cut everybody out of our life that doesn't completely agree with us. It's not necessary. Many of those people still have lots to give to us. And so what we want to do is to not respond to the negative. So we're going to the dinner table and we take a deep breath. And we look around and we feel a thanksgiving. We feel gratefulness that we're able to be here, we're able to eat together, that we have such abundance. What a joy. We are so lucky to have abundance around us. And then we sit down to eat. Well, let's talk about the number one immune organ in the body. Let's begin and let's go down our digestive system and see how we can intercede at each point and allow our body to digest and feel better. We have to remember something, that our stomach, through the nitric oxide, through release of serotonin, through release of enzymes, signals our brain on how we feel. When we're all bloated and angry, we feel horrible. We can feel depressed. We can feel isolated. And a large part of that can come from our intestines. So we don't need to do that. So let's see what we can do to digest and optimize these feelings from our body to our mind. So the number to call, I'm going back again, the number to call is 212-209-2877. It would be lovely to hear from you. And now we're going to start talking about the stomach and how the food goes down. We chew. Generally, if we're tense, we don't chew. Have you ever seen anybody take a piece of meat or a bite of food that's large or hard and chew down twice and swallow? Well, it's not good eating habits. It's not good for the stomach. It overstresses the stomach and makes the stomach's job two or three times as hard. So we start by chewing. And what happens when we chew? When we chew, enzymes are released, and those enzymes signal our pancreas as to what's coming down, what it will be facing. And when it signals the pancreas begins and gets into gear and starts making up and preparing itself for the food that is to come. So there's a signal. So chewing is important for more ways than one. It breaks up the food mechanically, but it also mixes the food with digestive enzymes in beginning. And the food goes down into the stomach. Now, I want to go back a little bit, because the digestive system that we have has about 33 feet of intestines. 33 feet. Think about that. How large it is, how long it is. And it's all wrapped up around, and there's lots of things that happen from start to finish. And we're going to be discussing that. So from the top is the stomach, as I said, and people don't really realize how acidic the stomach should be or is. You know, acid has a pH neutral at 7, and it goes down to become more acid and higher to become more alkaline. For every number to go from 7 to 6, that's down 10 times. 10 times. That's 10 times more acid than 7 has. And it's compounded. So imagine a pH of 1, 2, and 3 is highly acidic. And that's what your stomach normally would have. The stomach acid actually releases the acid that triggers enzymes that help your body break down your proteins. They break up the protein bonds. You know, when we're cooking, sometimes, depending what you're eating, chefs put enzymes on the meat to make it more tender, to make it more chewable, but particularly in hard meats and with very powerful enzymes, which we have in our stomach, which helps break up the bonds of the protein. So if there's a problem, so now we have a stomach with an acid and pH of 1, 2, or 3, we have very strong and aggressive and active enzymes. So if there's a problem with the valve at the top of the stomach, what happens? The enzymes in the food might come up. and into the esophagus.
Yes.
And you can literally begin to digest your tissues up into your throat. The acid allows you to absorb minerals. The acid in the stomach allows you to absorb minerals. If you don't have the right acid in your stomach, you can't absorb minerals. You can't absorb iron. You can't absorb magnesium. You become anemic. You can't absorb B12 either. And there are multiple types of anemia that you can acquire as a result of having low stomach acid.
Hey, Corinne, I just jumped in. I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, well, we're in the stomach, my darling. What more appropriate place to be than the stomach when it's Thanksgiving? So let me, since you interrupted, which is okay, I'm going to give the number out again because we want to hear from the audience. This is an intimate time, emotional and physical. It can be emotionally and physically stressful. So we want to hear about it any way that it affects you. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Don't wait till the end. Like many times we give out the number, people think about it and think about it and think about it. They wait till the end. And then we have lots of people at the end and we can't really speak with them in the way that we really want to. So let me just finish my one sentence.
Okay.
The acid of the stomach also kills microbes, because microbes have a very hard time living in that high acid. So you're cleansing the food with the acid. You're breaking up the protein bonds. And the stimulation of the food is releasing more acid and intrinsic factor, allowing you to absorb iron, to absorb minerals, to absorb B12. And so that's the stomach. Go on, Carol.
Oh, Carol? Where to go?
Where to go?
My big lunch. And just wondered about, should I take betaine hydrochloride, which is a supplement you can use to help your hydrochloric acid levels. So that's
one. Or should we take antacids?
Sometimes people reach for that, but that's a kiss of death. I had a guy back in my pharmacy days. It was strange because he actually had a phosphorus deficiency, which that we put it in the mineral family. And
well, guess what?
He was finally diagnosed.
And sodium chloride help the body. They're the two most important minerals to, there's others also, but to allow the body to make hydrochloric acid.
Yeah, so what he was doing, he was taking a drug, something like Tagamet. That was one of the first that supposedly helped you with your stomach acid, but really your hydrochloric acid was low. These were secondary fermentation acids happening. So that was going on. So he's taking this drug, and then he would regularly buy the antacid, as you brought up, Riopan, which is full of aluminum. It's an aluminum-based antacid. I don't even know if it's on the market anymore. But that also bound phosphorus, and he had so much bone pain, incredible amount of bone pain.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were trying to figure out what was going on with him. And they thought maybe he had bone cancer was their best guess. But he didn't have bone cancer at all. He had a phosphorus deficiency. So they pulled him off the drug, forbid him to have any more Riopan, and they gave him a supplement with phosphorus in it. And
wow,
lo and behold, it got turned around very quickly. All the pain and agony he was having was gone. So it just goes to show, like, sometimes people inadvertently are reaching for, I'll call them pharma solutions, but they don't deal with the underlying issue. And I'm glad you brought that up with sodium chloride, salt. Once he got his phosphorus back, and if there's salt in his diet, he starts doing the groundwork to get his stomach acid, which would avoid all these secondary fermentation acids that people are getting that are regurgitating into their esophagus.
There's also, you know, we always hear, and so many people come in to my office and talk about they have H. pylori, and they're given this very long and intensive antibiotic treatment. So it's a minimum of 2 weeks, but usually, and they tell you that usually it doesn't work and you have to come back a second time or even a third time. But how many of you understand that H. pylori that causes ulcers if your stomach isn't acidic, with higher stomach acid, these bacteria will stay in remission and will not invade your tissue. So I've seen protocols of vitamin C, betaine hydrochloride, and also bismuth.
Yeah, and bismuth. What was the name of the gum? There's
a mastic gum.
Yes, mastic gum was.
And you put those together, and you have the most powerful treatment for H. pylori, but it's based on building your stomach acid. Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yep. Could I talk about vitamin U?
Well, go right ahead, darling.
Okay. This research I discovered because of my mom. My mom went into the hospital for something else, and my mom had good insurance, and she was getting a pain in her abdomen. And it was holiday time, and the hospital wasn't too busy, so they're looking for more things to do with her. And so they said they could do an endoscope, if she would like. And actually the one with the anal too. Anyway, so I'm telling my mom that these procedures actually carried a risk that sometimes the equipment doesn't get sterilized very well. You could introduce new infections. You could poke a hole in your tissue. These things have happened. I said, you sure you want to do this? The doctor comes in and he poo-poos everything. And so she says, I want to do it. But, she did get diagnosed with a small duodenal ulcer. So the duodenal, that occurs just after the stomach as you're entering into the small intestines. That's the duodenum. And so what do they do in the hospital? They give my mom an injection of one of the proton pump inhibitors, which is supposed to decrease stomach acid. And it's not even appropriate because but when you get to the duodenum, you're supposed to be more alkaline. But
exactly.
Pancreas has pushed out a whole bunch of sodium bicarbonate. Right.
And so the bile has been released. All of these are alkaline.
Right. So you're supposed to be alkaline. So it's totally inappropriate therapy in my mind. So I go to Dr. Google. But what did I find? I found a study that was published by the NIH in 1949. And this was a study using cabbage juice.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So each day the participants got 1 liter of cabbage juice to drink.
One liter?
Yeah. It was a pretty good dose.
That's a nice dose.
In 10 days, most of them had complete resolution of that ulcer. And in a few more days, the people that didn't have resolution also resolved. So it was like a staggering study. It was so amazing. So they theorized that there's something in cabbage that they called vitamin U because of its effect on ulcers. So that was cool. We got my mom out of the hospital, got her off that drug, and proceeded to give her cabbage juice. I had to leave, and one of my sisters took over, and she said, "You have no idea what a difficult patient our mom is." She was kicking and screaming about drinking this cabbage juice, but it worked for her. It was absolutely, she was done with it. So yeah, I have seen, you can get this. I think there's a supplement company that actually has this element that is from cabbage juice that is very healing for ulcers. So
I would
1949.
I wouldn't think that a supplement would work. I would think that the liquid would be more effective, almost like washing the lesion, whereas a supplement wouldn't, at least that's my logic, I don't know if that's true, wouldn't be quite as effective.
Well, you have a good point about keeping yourself hydrated. And then with the cabbage, you're probably getting all sorts of vitamins, minerals that your body really needs too. Uh-huh. So it probably does pack a wallop. I don't know. I'm kind of fond of cabbage, but I never really juiced it.
I did once. And it's intense. The number to call is 212-209-2877. As we're coming down to the pancreas and the gallbladder, it's 212-209-2877. And so what happens, and this is a really important point that I'm going to speak about right now, is the gallbladder and the pancreas respond to the acid pH of the stomach. If the stomach pH is too low, first of all, it's blocked, the duodenum blocks the release of the stomach contents. And then when it finally releases it, the bile and the pancreas with its enzymes and its bicarb don't release in the correct way. So we have a circle here. I love circles. Uh-huh. I love how we have an interrelationship here. And one makes the other more effective. And what we have with the pancreas, we have enzymes. We have alkaline. And we have enzymes that break down food. They break down fats. They break down carbohydrates. And they break down protein. So you have gone to another level there. And then we have the bile that also simultaneously is alkaline and shoots out onto that tissue there. And that allows you to break down fats and make fats more soluble, actually. And it allows you to absorb vitamin A, D, E, and K, which are all fat soluble. And without an appropriate bile release, you can't detoxify certain chemicals in the liver because the liver is releasing the chemical, is concentrating the bile or the cholesterol with toxins to be released into the gallbladder to be concentrated even more so and released into the bile and then be released from the body. So what we have here is we have this interdependence on the working of that whole digestive system, which one makes the other effective and the other allows the other to work. So it's a whole important process that continues digestion. Okay, so the bile acts to, as I said, neutralize the stomach acid. If you're not, stomach acid isn't neutralized enough, just like Carol was talking about, you can develop a duodenum ulcer in your small intestine, right at the release where the chyme is released from the stomach and that acid is touching the intestine wall. That's where those type of ulcers come from. And as we said, the pancreas also makes the body or the food or the chyme more alkaline. And so it's interesting. People always talk about they want to alkalize. They want to alkalize. They want to alkalize. But somehow there's often a misunderstanding in that the stomach is very acidic. So you don't want to alkalize the entire body. You want to alkalize, but you want your stomach as acidic as appropriate or can be for health. Go on, Carol.
Right. It's as acidic as hydrochloric acid you can buy for cleaning off rust and stuff. It can be very acidic. So I was just thinking while you were talking about the bile, so many people have had surgeries for their gallbladder and they don't stop making bile, but it sort of drips out of the liver instead of its nice big gush. So the gallbladder was there to create a little package or pocket of bile. So when you ate something which had a lot of fat, your gallbladder would release that in a big go and mix all your food up with the bile and help you absorb the fats from your diet, as you said. So why don't doctors caution patients to do supplemental bile after they've had their surgeries? I can't tell you how many, many, many people I've run into who've had gallbladder surgery and their doctors have never warned them that they could use a little extra bile when they're actually eating. So what happens
is,
right, and what happens is they continue to suffer with indigestion and they find they can't really absorb or eat fatty foods. It's very distressful for them. And the solution is easy. So I know you're a big fan of bile, and to my surprise, you've remarked how wonderful it is to treat constipation with a bile supplement.
Well, you know, fats allow the body, it loosens the bowel and allows it a soft, smooth exit from the body. Without fats, very often our bowel becomes very hard and dense. And what the gallbladder does is it breaks down the fats so they can go into the intestine and assist with the peristalsis or the action of the pressure and the action of the intestines. The number to call is 212-209-2877. It's 212 209-2877. Now, I want to get down to one of your favorite subjects, Carol. There are tens of thousands of strains of microbes in your gut. You have a good bacteria, but you also have a pathogenic bacteria. And what we're seeing is that antibiotics destroy both, good and bad. And what's happening is the bad bacteria more rapidly has begun to adapt to the antibiotics, and it's becoming more resistant. Now, the good bacteria is also learning to adapt, but at a slower rate. So when you take an antibiotic, what returns is a higher percentage of the pathogenic bacteria in your intestines. And we see that when people are on IV antibiotics for long periods of time, when they're in the hospital, on meds for a long period of time, what ends up happening is this inhabitant of the intestines goes out of control, and that's Clostridium difficile. It's C. diff. They call it C. diff.
Big problem in hospitals.
It's a big problem, and it can be dangerous. It could be life-threatening. So what I say to my patients, and sometimes you need the antibiotics, but not as much as they're given, but I have them take Saccharomyces boulardii, which is a form of a probiotic that blocks C. diff and can be very powerful. But that's a short-term probiotic, because we're dealing with tens of thousands and we're giving back one. It's like refining bread, removing all the nutrients from the bread and give back a little iron and a trace of B vitamins and saying it's enriched. Well, it's the same with probiotics. You want multiple forms. I love two forms. I love a natural probiotic that comes in yogurts, in kefirs, in fermented cabbage, sauerkraut. And what I'm seeing in the farmers market is that they're fermenting multiple forms of vegetables. They're fermenting carrots, they're fermenting ginger, and you eat small amounts of that. You don't need to eat buckets and buckets. And it's so good for your intestines, because what feeds your microbiome? Fibers. And that allows the microbiome to build up and work on the foods. The best type of fibers you can eat are vegetable fibers. Carol?
Yeah, definitely. You left out one big pathogen, though, that happens with antibiotics, is candida. And like, picture like the space that you create by killing all the bacteria, and this candida will move in. And compared to the size of bacteria, which say might be a pillow on your couch, and the candida organism is big as your living room, when those candida organisms move in, it's very, very tough to get rid of. So on top of Clostridia, which can become pretty pathogenic, yeast, which is candida, can become a really big and chronic health problem. So what happens when candida overgrows? This really impairs your absorption. Now you're into your small intestine and your large intestine, where you should be pulling in the nutrients from the food, but the candida are taking it and growing more and more. So that candida particularly love sugar and of all kinds, even complex carbohydrates like the breads or even the little candies, which are like pure sugar. They love it. And they also love alcohol.
Yum, yum.
Yeah.
Oh, they love alcohol?
Yes, oh, they no. do. That's right. They love it so much that they even make their own some of the time. There were people that were diagnosed as
like drunk.
They were drunk, like they were in a car accident, and they have an alcohol level, and they never touched any alcohol, but it was their disordered gut with candida overgrowing. So, you know, you have like organizations like Alcoholics Anonymous, who I believe the people going there probably do have some serious problems with their gut microbiome. So they're pulling off of alcohol, which is a good thing. But if you go to those meetings, they're offering cookies and cakes and candies to compensate. What are you doing? You're compensating by giving candida another feast. So that just switching from one kind of nutrient for the candida to another doesn't really solve the candida problem. So it's hardly surprising there's so much backsliding when the candida actually can create all the cravings that you feel. So it's not coming from you. It's coming from your organisms.
I've seen people and, you know, and we see it all the time that feel achy and headachy and fatigued and brain fogged. And right. they eat a candy bar and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that achy feeling and headachy and brain fog is toxins being released from the candida dying. And so
that's until you fed them, they're dying. They're dying because they need some food, and then you go ahead and feed them a candy bar, so you decrease the rate of the dying, and hence all those mycotoxins. Even has a special name, mycotoxin. Your mycotoxin load goes down, so you can think again. But you still have a candida.
Well, I'm going to say one other thing, and then I want to go to solutions because we've been talking a lot of physiology. And that the mycotoxins have an affinity to the vitamin D receptor. They can mimic vitamin D. And the vitamin D receptor, when then you take vitamin D and your intestines cannot absorb it. And so you're getting vitamin D and still going into deficiencies. And the vitamin D then, to be absorbed, goes to the wrong receptor where it doesn't work anymore. And remember, our lower intestines are surrounded by 80% of our lymph system in the body. So the nutrients that are being absorbed are going directly into the lymph and working with our immune system and working with our bodies. So what I would like to say, I would like people, first of all, the bad news is what we've been talking about, but the good news is if you overate and you ate some cake and you ate some cookies and you it's not all over. It's not game over. It's ruined. It'll never be fixed again. No, that's the negative side coming out. It's just one day. So what do? Tomorrow, and I'm going to challenge you to do this. Tomorrow, I would like you to not eat until 12 noon. I'd like you to take a big glass of water, put some lemon in it if you can, but if not, don't. Drink that big glass of water, and not slowly, just drink it down rapidly so it acts to clean out your intestines. and not eat till 12 in the afternoon. And then at 12, I want you to eat some protein and vegetables with delicious, wonderful olive oil over the top. And what you will find...
turkey soup.
Oh, yes. You could have lots of vegetables in the turkey soup.
Great. So
serve yourself a bowl of turkey soup, which is totally wonderful and totally delicious. And then at dinner, I'd like you to repeat lunch. A giant bowl of turkey soup, some vegetable and protein. I do not want you to snack. And I do not want you to eat after dinner. The earlier you can eat dinner, the better. And then what happens? The next day, you wake up and all that loginess that has come over you as a result of Thanksgiving meal is reduced. If you could do that for the whole weekend, you'll be hitting Monday up, alert, eyes open, feeling great, and ready to conquer your day. Not ready to start your day, ready to conquer your day, which is what we want. We want that kind of energy. We want you to be able to release that kind of energy and use it for your own good. There's more tricks.
What are you going to do with the leftover pies?
Well, what do? I stick them in the freezer. I get them out of my sight.
Me too.
Before the dinner ended, everybody took a bite. I wrap them and stick them in the freezer. And sometimes they last months in the freezer. Sometimes I pull them out when people come to visit and serve it to them so that I'm not tempted. If a pie's sitting out all night, the next morning I'll get up and have pie for breakfast.
Right.
Oh, delicious. And we all know that.
You got to get it out of sight, so it's out of mind.
Create other deliciousnesses. But for those of you who have acid reflux, who are using antacids of any kind, right down to Rolaids, to Tagamet, to Zantac, to proton pump inhibitors, I would like you to try something. You know, betaine hydrochloride that you can buy in the stores is quite weak. It's not very strong. And rather than take the antacids, I'd like you to take one or two of the hydrochloric acid after your meal. And I want to see how you feel. I would even, but not the first time, the next time you eat protein, and only when you're eating proteins, I'd like you to take three with the meal. And hopefully, what you will find is that you don't need the antacids in the same way. I've seen people taking 10 with every meal. They're very cheap. They're not expensive. You can pick them up in any health food store. And like I said, I've seen people using 10 with every meal if they need it, and they feel great. They had been living on antacids, and now they're off antacids and taking extra acid, and they feel great. Some people, you know, don't need that. Some people just take a little apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. That vinegar, a teaspoon, a tablespoon at the end of the meal, or put it in water and drink it, could be all you need. We don't know. But both that and the hydrochloric acid capsules stimulate your own body to make its own acid, which it has been blocked from doing for as long as you've been on those. You know, those antacids were developed to take with an illness. You have an ulcer, take it. You know, you're having stomach problems, take it. But not, I see people that have been on these every day for 15 years. Now that's frightening, because we know it interferes with bone formation. We know it interferes with thinking, and it's been linked even to brain disorders, forms of dementia.
And yeah, so there's a favorite thing I'd like to add in here, particularly with people trying to get off of antacids and proton pump inhibitors. They may have a very irritated, inflamed esophagus. And my favorite thing for that is DGL, deglycerizinated, excuse me, licorice. But if you just ask for DGL, yeah, it has to be a lozenge. And that will help. You can have it anytime. Usually it's after a meal that you tend to start feeling some of the reflux if you don't have
enough. I have people take it before bed, too.
Yeah, so you are actually healing your esophagus. And it's gotten so I've run into so many people around me are having that exact problem. I have bottles and give stuff away all the time.
You're the Santa Claus of nutrients.
And they think I'm a hero.
Well, then you can add one other thing. I always like to add with, you know, what do we do when we have a burn? We put it under water, cold water, and then we put aloe on it. Mm-hmm. When you have an inflamed esophagus, what is it? It's a burn. It's a chemical burn. So I love the DGL, the licorice that you chew on. And I have people sip on aloe because DGL is very dry. And they can have a little 1 ounce, 2 ounces of aloe. And it also, I find that it accelerates the healing of the DGL. I also find that's a wonderful trick. But also be another thing to help your digestion. And the Europeans have been doing this forever and ever, are bitters. Mm-hmm. They take bitter vegetables, extract the juice, and put it in a liquid, and then you put a couple of drops in some water, and it stimulates your hydrochloric acid to be released, and it begins digestion. When you see these old movies and they're talking to their grandmothers before they're eating, they're sipping on bitters, and that helps digestion also. So we've got three things right here, actually four. We've got bitters, we've got apple cider vinegar, we've got hydrochloric acid, and you know, another thing that really helps digestion and helps bowel is bile, B-I-L-E, bile.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what we were talking about before.
With the meals. So we've been talking about that before. And
so that's
also
a supplement you can get in a health food store too, the bile, ox bile or some sort of bile.
Totally available. Everything we said is totally available. So guess what, darlings? You have no excuses. If you want to heal yourself, you can. Now, there's some more about this dinner that we have a couple minutes to talk about, is that the emotional part of it. And we discussed it in the beginning about some of the angst that some of us, you know, I walk in my mother's house and I feel like I'm a little girl again. Mm-hmm. All she has to do is say, straighten your hair, and I cringe after all these years.
Yep.
So what we really want to do is let go. And I've heard it say, let go and let love. Let go. And don't let your family, different people interfere with this wonderful meal and celebration. This is a celebration. It's a celebration of life. It's a celebration of living here. And it's important that we share this with people we love and people we care about. There was a song, it's called Family is Family. And I listened to it so many times. And one line is really funny. I'm going to paraphrase it so badly you might not get it, but it goes, they want money, they bother you, they say things, but if you need a kidney, they're there for you. Family. And it's a country western song. I love
So you're quite right. You cannot digest your food if your emotional state is in turmoil. It's just impossible.
It doesn't release your enzymes, your hydrochloric acid isn't released. So you end up with a stomach ache. And that's not what we want to do. We want to be celebratory and appreciate how lucky we are.
Yeah, we have so much to be grateful for. And I'm grateful we can meet people by the radio every week like we do. And I'm so happy when we get feedback. Please visit us on our Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol, and say hello, ask questions, let us know what you'd like to hear about.
Exactly. Give us suggestions.
Yeah.
Shows, we will take them and probably utilize them and credit you for them. So, Carol, enjoy.
Thank you.
And I am grateful for our relationship.
So am I.
Even though we bicker sometimes.
It's
but
good.
But not often. What?
It challenges our homeostasis, and that's a good
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. So, thank you, Reggie.
Thank you, Reggie. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Listeners, and have a great day. Bye-bye. We'll be back next week.
So, we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Su velocidad le puede parecer lenta al manejar, pero si atropella a alguien, es espantosamente rápida. Conductores, estén pendientes de los peatones y ciclistas, y al doblar, reduzcan la velocidad a 5 millas por hora. El exceso de velocidad arruina vidas. Reduzca la velocidad. Un mensaje de la iniciativa Visión Cero de la Ciudad de Nueva York.
COVID-19 variants are still around. It's a good thing there are new boosters targeted to take them out. The new bivalent boosters are here. Bullseye. Everyone 5 and older should get boosted today. To learn more, visit nyc.gov/vaccinefinder or call 877-VAX4NYC.
That message brought to you by the New York City Department of Health. This is WBAI New York.
Join us November 25th to December 11th for the 30th annual
African Diaspora International Film Festival. The festival is back in person in Manhattan with guest filmmakers, moments of reflection, and a great selection of 89 award-winning, socially relevant narrative and documentary films from 44 different countries. Celebrate the